morning.
Good morning.
Our first scripture today will be John chapter 20, verses 24 to 31. Jesus and Thomas. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Do not put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet still believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Meg asked me to come and speak to you this morning about my mom, Joan Archibald. And my mom was born in Renfrew, both parents were, and in the 1930s. My grandparents were economic migrants to Canada from Scotland and from England. And they met in Ottawa, and they moved to Renfrew because my grandfather was working in the mill there. And as the kids were growing up, my aunt, my grandmother, who was raised by Catholic nuns actually in London, England, because she was an orphan, she wanted her kids to go to a church, and they wanted to go to the Baptist church, but they were advised quietly that they wouldn't be welcome there. And so they ended up going to the Presbyterian church. Who knows why? You know, maybe economic, maybe racial, who knows? That's why I'm a Presbyterian. Anyways, so they were moved to Ottawa in the 1950s for work. Both my parents worked for the civil service. And they went and bought a house in the area of St. Paul's Presbyterian Church, where I grew up, and my brothers and I went to Sunday school there, and my mom went. And my brothers weren't that much interested, but I made friends and grew up in Sunday school and the youth group programs and things, and my mom continued to go to that church. My dad passed away in 1975, and my mom remarried in 1983 to Bill Archibald, and they went to St. Paul's for all their lives. And, you know, Mommy didn't talk much about her faith at all, really. But she was a member of the women's circle there and various other things. And she attended Bible studies and things like that. Something happened to my mom from a tragedy to another family. One of the families, their young teenage son very suddenly had an aneurysm, fell off a balcony, and was comatose for a number of days before he died. And it was a huge tragedy. And in his hospital room, his friends came who had been with him, and they were arguing about, you know, where was God when all this was happening. And on the wall behind his bed appeared shadowy crosses on the wall. And people were trying to find out if this was a hoax or something, and it wasn't. And I never saw it, and my mom didn't. But she heard about it, and she told me because of that she believed. You know, and so when Meg asked me to pick a scripture, I thought of Thomas, you know, saying Jesus was saying to him, "Blessed are those who believe without seeing." You know, what a wonderful thing. I think of that verse in Romans where Paul is saying, God works all things together for those who love him and are called according to his commands. And, you know, my mom died last March 7th, so we're just past her first anniversary. And she was so well cared for where she was. I think she still prayed, you know. She told me sometimes that she prayed. She got quite upset once because she couldn't remember the words to the Lord's Prayer. And she wanted me to remind them. I knew she was praying. And, you know, at the funeral last year, a number of people from St. Paul's came, even though they never met her, but they came to support me and the family. I'm hugely grateful for everyone who came to that funeral. I really am, even if I didn't get time to talk to you. But she would have been astounded if she had seen how many people were at that funeral. But I was talking to Gail Puttick last night, and she reminded me, we never know the impact we're going to have on people until it's after, you know, afterwards. Something my mom did is she supported Heather Shugart, who was Ian's daughter, who went to China as an English teacher and also had a mission going there. And she supported her every month financially. So who knows the other side of paradise that we're going to find Chinese believers who were there because of Heather's ministry and my mom's ministry. You know, it's a really wonderful thing. And, you know, St. Paul's cared for her so well, picking her up for church and making her feel included. And look how that still goes on, you know, St. Stephen's wrapped their arms around me and supported me. When I needed it, thank you.
This reading is from Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up.
Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Today I want to share how my faith has impacted me as a mother. As many of you know, being a mother is a journey filled with joy, challenges, and countless moments of growth. Some of you can relate to moments when suddenly the milk is spilled, you step on a Lego brick, kids are fighting, a cat has a seizure, you bump your head getting up, and it's just like, oh my goodness, what more could happen? And then we feel this visible yet invisible humor, strength, knowing that we're presented with the challenges that we know that we have the support and strength, and we're given the courage to push onwards through. My faith has profoundly shaped my journey as a mother. It has provided me with a sense of purpose and strength, especially during challenging times. Through my faith, I've learned the importance of patience, compassion, humor, and unconditional love. It has guided me in instilling values in my children, teaching them about kindness, empathy, and resilience. My faith has been a source of comfort and hope, helping me to navigate the ups and downs of motherhood with grace and gratitude, which are things that I've learned from my own mother. It's amazing to have a different sort of a connection with your mother once you've become a mother. And suddenly it changed a lot, I think, in terms of our just a mutual understanding, a connection of, oh my goodness. And again, just when you think there's no more that you can sort of face or deal with easily, a few more things come along, and then a few more and a few more, and then you just realize you have a strength to get through it. You just need to remember your faith, reflect, pray, and then the next day becomes another day of sunshine and warmth and energy that just comes from within. So in summary, my faith has equipped me with the tools to nurture my children and face challenges with a positive outlook. I'm grateful for the strength and wisdom that it provides, and I hope to continue passing these values to my children. Thank you.
I am reading from Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 45, titled Mary Visits Elizabeth. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believes that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Before my kids were born, I assumed that a relationship with God was built on practices like quiet contemplation and private prayer. In those days, I would often attend church on my own, and I enjoyed it. I used this time to reflect on my experiences, and I would gradually fold them into my understanding of God and how he operates. I had hoped that this approach to faith would continue into motherhood, that having a baby would help me understand God even better. But when I heard that story of Mary and Elizabeth during my own first pregnancy, the moment that baby John leapt in Elizabeth's womb felt slightly off. I had recently learned that babies in utero wiggle around for much of the day, every day. It would be weird for any one moment to be significant. Perhaps the actual experience of motherhood would be different than the way it is depicted in Scripture. Maybe carrying my faith into this new chapter of life wouldn't be a seamless transition. As it turned out, it was not. When my baby arrived, I found I was usually too busy or too tired to spend much meaningful time with God. Being physically present at church felt like all that I could achieve. My faith didn't help me feel grounded. It felt like just one more task that I was neglecting. It's only recently that I've begun to really notice the spiritual fruit that does exist in my current life. For one thing, being the mother of small kids means spending a huge amount of time and energy serving others. I'm constantly being responsive to their needs, thinking about their care. This work rarely leaves me feeling serene or enlightened. But I know that this is all valuable work and good work and holy in its own way. And truthfully, family life brings constant opportunities to grow in faith. When Gracie started to walk, it meant that Andrew and I would miss much of the service while we were chasing her around. So after church, we started a routine of one parent telling the other one about the day's message. This often leads to questions and discussion that we probably wouldn't be having if we both got to stay in the pews. And speaking of questions, as Meg mentioned, Gracie has a lot of them. She's often asking us where God lives, or why Jesus died, or why that one Sunday we waved palms and had a parade at church. And I've had to get used to, or I've had to get comfortable talking about God at any time, in any place. And this can only be good for me. Becoming a mother means no longer practicing my faith in a way that is mainly private, self-directed, and if I'm being honest, a little bit self-conscious. Eventually, one day, my life will be calmer and I will be able to do things my own way again. But I now appreciate this faith that I'm currently living, one that is public, chaotic, and inherently shared with other people.